is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
It's never too early to start thinking of the next family vacation, but the usual problem always remains. Visit the same place year after year, or enjoy a truly unique experience in the mountains of northern New Jersey. The Great Divide Campground has been serving camping enthusiasts for over 50 years, maintaining the idea of camping, just refining it each and every year. Guests are able to bask in the sun and fun of the scenic Appalachian Mountains by day and take in the moonlight by night. The Great Divide Campground features full events calendar with live music, a lake for fishing and boating, and a brand new playground for the kids. The Great Divide Campground has fully furnished air-conditioned cabin rentals available with plenty to do or not to do, depending on your idea of a vacation. The Great Divide Campground is less than an hour away from Newton, New Jersey. More information available online at campthegreatdivide.com or by phone at 973-383-4026. 973-383-4026. The Great Divide Campground, just a stone's throw away from the city.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at autismdonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. Also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on. We had a really good social media topic that we put out there about why girls with autism seem to have a harder time getting diagnosed. And we wanted to hear from our listeners about, you know, some of their challenges and maybe share some personal stories with us about why it seems to be that girls are more difficult to diagnose than boys. So we had some professional information that we put out there, as well as also some information that was sent in from some of our listeners. So we want to share that with you on the air.
What I wanted to say is, what some of the professionals said, higher functioning children with autism were less likely to be identified. Such studies likely missed girls with high intelligence quotients and milder social difficulties whose autism may have been particularly difficult to detect. And they theorize that girls are better than boys at camouflaging their symptoms, particularly during high structured interactions such as clinic visits. So they're trying to change the way that they diagnose the girls now. They're saying that the methods can recognize autism in girls. Professionals need to gather evidence of a girl's difficulties through other means. This might mean involve observing a girl in a more naturalistic setting as she interacts with her peers. And I, meanwhile, to better understand how girls and boys with autism differ, researchers are actively recruiting more girls into studies. So they're moving towards researching this area because they are so underdiagnosed, I guess would be the word, or not diagnosed as much as boys are. And we don't know if that's an accurate figure, the 4-to-1 ratio, because these high-functioning girls are sort of being moved through the system. And that's why this is an interesting topic. And we do want to talk about the girls that aren't diagnosed.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we had one of moms wrote in about she participated in a UC Davis Mind Institute study last year. And the study, what they did was they took 112 boys and 27 girls with autism. And they were between the ages of 3 to 5. And basically, they used this process called a diffusion tensor imaging. And they researchers looked at the corpus callosum, which is the largest neural fiber bundle in the brain in young kids. And before the research was done, it actually shown some differences in that area of the brain among people with autism. They found that the fibers were different in boys compared with the girls, especially in the frontal lobes, which play a executive function. It's a very obviously small sample. It's very limited, but she said that the work added to the growing body of work suggesting that boys and girls with autism have a different underlying neural anatomical difference. And so it's kind of an interesting study that she was in part, you know, part of, and she wanted to share that with us. And basically, you know, she found, you know, they were saying one of the things that a lot of boys and girls had behavioral differences with autism, and the female controls were greater than the differences among the boys. And they found that the girls can be more severely affected than boys, actually. And then a year ago, before the study that she did, they had a separate group. They found noticeable differences in symptoms between autistic boys and girls, which could possibly be one of the reasons autism in girls sometimes goes unnoticed or is diagnosed late. Girls generally display less obvious behavioral symptoms at a young age compared to boys.
Right.
And I think one of the reasons they say that females with autism are less understood than males is that most of the research studies do not have the equal numbers of boys and girls. So
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. I mean, they say it's not surprising. And, you know, there's so many more males with autism than females. And they really feel like they need to basically, I guess, recruit more females with autism into the study so they can really kind of explore the differences between the males and the females with autism.
Right.
So
that's the same thing that I had researched too, and said instead of scoring girls with autism using existing instruments, the expert should observe them and compare them with girls who don't have the disorder. This approach would force us to generate fresh examples of the ways that social and communication impairments and repetitive behavior manifest in girls. Based on these observations, as well as interviews with the girls' parents or teachers, professionals could start to identify behaviors that may be specific to girls with autism. We don't know that much about girls with autism, like what to look for, what are the signs. Unless they're very severe and they're comparable to the boys, I think it's much harder to identify, like we had mentioned earlier, the higher functioning ones, the ones that, you know, are able to talk and communicate and do pretty much function typically, except for the social interactions, which are harder for them. And that's, you know, sort of hard to tell sometimes whether a child is just shy or, you know, or is it something chemical in the brain? So we need to do more research on this for sure.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, you know, Lynn, they've always talked about, and this is what they've said, that boys are four times more likely to be diagnosed with autism than girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they used the difference between the X chromosome. That was the big study, you know, they said. But then they also said that they're saying that females were better able to overcome mutation of the chromosome, I guess.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know if that was necessarily true or not. I'm not saying it's not true, but they did a new study that actually reveals a little bit something different now.
Oh, really?
So they're saying that later, boys, because females exhibit less severe symptoms, simply put, they said the girls might be able to hide their symptoms better,
which
makes it, like you said, more difficult to diagnose at an early age.
Right.
And it indicates that girls may face a higher risk of autism that's not being possibly recognized or diagnosed.
Right. And that's what they said, is that it doesn't matter. It says we should focus appropriately on identifying as many girls and boys with autism as possible so that these children can access interventions. Even if a girl has subtler difficulties than other children with the disorder, those problems may nevertheless have a tremendous impact on her life. And the thing is that these children who suffer, who they can't make any friends, they can't form those social connections, but they can function in school or get through, you know, everyday life, it's still going to have a huge impact on their life. And I think that they do need to, we do need to be aware of these kids and do something about getting them help, you know, as early as possible and recognizing symptoms. you know, a child who is severe, who a lot of moms that I'm that I know with children, that the girls that are severe, those are easier to recognize. They have problems with toileting, they have problems, they can't speak, or they're not playing appropriately at an earlier age. Those things you can recognize right away if the girl is severe. But if you have a child who's higher functioning, I think that's when it gets very difficult, you know. They may have some sensory issues, you know, but, like, you know, we all have sensory issues. If you think about it, a typical person has sensory issues sometimes too. So it's hard, you know, it's a hard thing. It's very, very, it's a small margin, I think.
Well, I think, you know, what it is there's things as personal traits, or is it, you know, is it a diagnosis? You know, that's the whole thing.
Right. It's hard.
You know, some people like to keep to themselves, and is that a trait that they just like, or does that mean they fall somewhere on the spectrum, you know? So it's kind of interesting how, you know, I think we put sometimes maybe too much emphasis on the spectrum too, I think, and it could just be
true.
A personal trait.
But I do know of a couple of people that have this thing called nonverbal learning disorder, which is actually supposed to be very high on the spectrum, not necessarily Asperger's. It's actually processing the language. So it falls under the autistic spectrum disorder. They cannot process. They're slow as far as school, but they're not getting the services because they can just make it. You know what I mean? They can't,
right,
barely
right,
make
exactly.
the speed, but they're not getting the services. And the teachers are saying, or the school system is saying, they're doing fine.
Right.
But they're not doing.
And that's a problem. And that's why it's important to talk about this topic, because we need to change that so that they don't go through the system, just float through.
Right. And they're not, and also, you know, it is impacting their social life. They're not having, they can't form the connections because they can't make the friendships. You know, they can't, if there's a group of girls and they can't really follow what's going on, they might not be able to, you know, jump into the conversation. They may not be able to have a romantic relationship later on in life and, you know, meet someone or whatever the case may be. This is going to affect the child for the rest of the, you know, a person for the rest of their life. So it is important that.
No, it's true. It's true. And I know some individuals too that are friends of our family and stuff like that, that
right.
had kids that, you know, were very smart in school, did very well, went off to college. But like you said, didn't have boyfriends, not many friends, but was real focused on their work. And, you know, it makes you wonder, like, you know, their parents look back and they said, well, did my daughter maybe fall on the spectrum? And I just, you know, at that time, you know, because it's 30, 40 years ago, you know, at that time, you know, was it diagnosed because we didn't know enough yet, you know, about it.
Right.
You know, because a lot of the studies, what they talk about, Lynn, is that they say, you know, girls basically out of the study struggled more with social cognition, and that was basically the ability to interpret a lot of social cues, while meanwhile boys had more severe mannerisms, such as repetitive behaviors like hand flapping.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, that obviously that, you know, I guess depending on the neurologist or whoever's diagnosing it, it would be hard to diagnose that child with autism if they're not showing those signs. Then they might say, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with your daughter, you know?
Right, exactly. I think it is very hard. And again, I go back to, this has always been my pet peeve, is the professionals need to learn more. And they have come a long way, but I think we need to go even further, because I think sometimes, you know, I've had to explain my situation to several professionals, you know, over the years, because they don't know that much about it. It's the same thing. It's ever evolving. This
autism. Well, it's true. And also, I think it depends on the age of the physicians.
Oh, yeah.
If they don't do their continuing education, because as we're doing more and more research on autism, obviously,
right.
and we've
right.
learned so much,
right.
you know, they need to continue their education and learning,
yeah.
you know, and almost like retraining them to make a better diagnosis.
Right. And I also say, and the other thing I always say is, when I had spoken to several moms in the past, and I said, always trust your intuition. Like, if you suspect that there's something wrong, I don't think you should doubt yourself. I think that you should go ahead and question it. It can't hurt, you know. It can't hurt to have your child evaluated. If you suspect something is wrong, you know, worst case scenario, you get the child help. You know, that's
right.
It's gonna
exactly.
help the child in the future.
Exactly, and you know, I tell parents always, and I always go back to this: it's not about you; it's about helping your child.
Exactly.
It's about getting your child the best help so that your child can really excel in life.
Right.
And that's really what it's all about at the end of the day.
And they can. I mean, look at Temple Grandin.
Yes.
Because her mother wouldn't give up.
Right. Her mother pushed her. very hard. You know, it was very tough with her. And look at how tremendous, you know, she's become and what she's been able to accomplish. One of the, you know, top 100 most influential people in today's world.
Yep.
So that's you know, that's amazing, you know. You know, we're not saying that everybody's going to be that level, but no. The bottom line is that you want to give the best chance for your child to excel, be able to get a job, a career, and just be productive in society today, you know, and give them the best chances for that. So, you know, you can't be ashamed or, you know, sometimes the word proud has come up where I've heard parents, well, I'm too proud. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with my child. They're in denial. And they won't seek the necessary help. And
yeah.
I know I've talked about that so many times.
Yeah, the denial is a huge...
It's a big thing. And I get that. Listen, I'm not faulting them, but I do get it.
Right.
But you have to kind of get yourself past that point and realize that all you're doing is holding your child back.
Right. I think
that,
so, too.
At that point. And I think you just, you know, you have to be very open-minded, I think, when it comes to that, too. But, you know, we need to focus now, I think, appropriately is, you know, focus on a lot of interventions and get, you know, the girls better diagnosed, I think. That's really what it comes down to, because a lot of them, like you said, are not getting the services they desperately need.
Right, yeah.
And that's a big problem. That's a big problem.
Yeah, it is a problem.
So
hopefully going forward in the future, we'll conduct more studies on girls and... you know, and have more information as to how to handle these girls and get them diagnosed earlier. Because you do hear the higher functioning ones are diagnosed later sometimes.
Yeah. No, I know some personal people in my life that were diagnosed in their late 20s.
Right.
With autism spectrum disorder, you know. So, I mean, just the fact that, you know, it's not, we're not talking, you know, 40 years ago. We're talking less than 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And they were never diagnosed until their late to mid 20s. So...
Right.
Definitely an issue there, for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we need to do a better job, like I said, because right now, you know, when you look at the ratios, it's 4-1, boys to girls. You know, is that an accurate number, or is it just, like I said, is it misdiagnosis of females, basically, that might change that number, you know?
Right.
So we don't know, but I just think it's important to talk about it. You know, it's one of those topics that, you know, it's been in the media a little bit. Recently, they've been talking about it, and I think it's important to talk about it again. So if you have a daughter and, you know, you're kind of like on the fence, you know, seek a second or third opinion if you have to, you know, because there are some great physicians out there that do a really good job at diagnosing your child, you know, just to be able to help them, to get them the proper help. So, but anyway, we want to talk about, you know, so we'll follow up with that, Lynn, and see. You know, as research comes out, we'll bring it back up, that topic again. I think it's an important topic, but it's being talked about, so that's the most important thing.
Right.
There was one of our listeners wrote in about, she actually has a 12-year-old daughter who was just being diagnosed with high-functioning autism. And it's kind of interesting because we're just talking about that, so kind of how this topic works.
Right.
She's having a really hard time with taking showers or baths. And we just put this question on our social media, so we don't have a lot of responses yet, but we want to put this out there so that anybody listening to the broadcast might be able to help this mom out. She's been having a lot of hygiene issues with her daughter, and the only way they can actually get her to shower or take a bath is to use, like, special soaps, such as one possibly shaped like characters from the movie Ice Age, which is a great movie, by the way. You know, so she uses these characters, these special soaps, and she wanted to know if anybody could relate to this problem. She's a big fan of the show, and she really would appreciate if anybody out there could help her address this problem on our show, Hope Saves the Day. So, you know, we thank her, obviously, for writing in, and we will, you know, once we... the next show, we're hoping that, you know, to get some more responses to it. You know, we're not going to go into depth right now, like I said, but we're waiting to hear from the autism community on this question. So if you have a daughter or a son that's having a hard time with taking showers or bath, if you had any secrets or anything you could do with hygiene, you know, we definitely want to hear from you. And, you know, I'm going to say this. If the special soap works, you know what? Do what works. Do what works, you know? That's just my two cents there.
That was my first, yeah.
You know, when I first read her question, I said, well, you know, so, and I understand. She probably wants her daughter to use the regular soaps and, you know, kind of be more grown up, I guess, for her age, you know. But I know a lot of kids, too, I think, you know, neurotypical kids have a lot of challenges with hygiene anyway. So I think, you know, it's not the only problem. But kids with autism tend to either they're one extreme or the other. I've heard some kids like to shower so much that they could live in the shower all day.
Yeah.
And then there's other kids that, like, you literally have to force them in the shower. So,
yeah.
And I've been on that side of the fence with my son many of times, although now it's much, much better. But we definitely had our challenges. But we're looking for you guys to give some great feedback to this mom. So, like I said, if you're having any hygiene issues with your child, you know, taking a shower or bath, and there, I guess what she's hoping to do, it sounds to me like, be able to kind of not be in how about the briber, I guess, to take a shower, or I don't know exactly what she wants, you know, to get out of the question, but I'm guessing she's just wants to hear from other parents. She doesn't want to feel like she's alone. That's what I'm taking from it. So if you guys can partake and call in about anybody that you had in your family who had a hard time taking showers or bath, we'd like to hear from you. So use our toll-free number at 1-877-HOPE-777 or also email us at questions@autismradio.org. That's questions@autismradio.org. We'd love to hear from you and be a part of our broadcast because, like I said, those answers help each other, you know. You know, it's a big community.
Show, and everybody can...
Absolutely.
We all help learn from each other parents helping other parents. It's great.
And that's the best part of it. That's the greatest thing is that, you know, something we might say on a broadcast, it relates to someone or may not relate to someone, but it may relate to you. And you might be going through this and say, oh, you know, now I have an idea of something I can try. So it's about just coming up with ideas because sometimes at the end of the day, we're all working hard. We're all busy with our lives and we're just barely getting by. You know, the daily lives and, you know, you're able to get some information. It's very, very helpful. And that's probably been the biggest thing since starting the broadcast of Hope Saves the Day is that, you know, we've been able to change lives, you know, with some of the information that we've talked about or just been a big support group here for you and here for you every week on the program. So we love to be a part of your lives. So, and also, Lynn, we want to let everybody know that obviously we're coming into a new year. Very, very shortly, whether we want it or not, as we're already in November, which is pretty crazy that time has been flying by. But we have so many families that need help, and we really are hoping that we can count on you for a generous contribution to AutismRadio.org. If you can go, you can donate. Go to AutismRadio.org/donate and make a nice donation, which is a tax deduction for you, and it helps one of our programs, and it helps a kid and child and a family who might be struggling right now. So we can't do this alone. So we're really hoping that, you know, you can help out and make a difference in the autism community by helping Autism Radio with our mission and goals to help others. So hopefully we can get some general donations, Lynn, you know?
Yeah.
So we need your help. We can't do it without you. But, you know, we'd like to thank everybody, as always, on the program. Obviously, you know, these questions are great. It keeps the show fresh. And there's just so much information out there on autism today as it's grown, you know, in the community. And we've been a part of it for a long time now, and we love what we do. So we want to thank you, though. You, the listeners, have made it possible and keep us going every week. So we thank you for your support and your love every step of the way. So I'd like to wish everybody, Lynn, a great week, as always, on the program from Hope Saves the Day. And hopefully, you know, we're getting close to Thanksgiving, and we'll probably be talking about that topic again a little bit, I'm sure, as a lot of people had a lot of questions about diets and what to eat and what my kid won't eat. And, Now we'll get into all that fun stuff too shortly coming up on a program. And also we'll have some information about some upcoming events that Autism Radio will be having in the near future. So, you know, be sure to stay tuned to autismradio.org. The great part, you can listen to this podcast anytime you want. You could subscribe on iTunes to Hope Saves the Day and have never miss an episode of Hope Saves the Day. So you can be a part of us, and we enjoy being part of your lives every week. So we wish everybody a great night and a great week to everyone. And as always, remember, until next time, hope saves the day. Good night, everyone.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day. To show you what I see, what kind of life will I have, what's in store for me. Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world. Like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. Then you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day.